And so how mighty then is that gospel that had an entrance into his heart, that gospel that came into the heart of the man who was religious and filled with zeal for religion, but yet his heart was dark with sin. And though he was filled with religious zeal and religious endeavors and thought that he was serving God, it was, in fact, from a heart that knew not the Savior. And how that gospel entered in. And when that gospel entered into the heart of Paul, that gospel could never be driven out of it.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people. You've been listening to How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds here on Let the Bible Speak. Welcome to our program today. I'm Andrew Fitton. Delighted to have you join with us as we delve into the Word of God and we consider more of the Gospel of the Lord. We're looking today at Felix, and we're going to go to our pulpit in Cloverdale for the second part of that message entitled, Are You a Felix?
Are you using those opportunities? It might be a daunting opportunity. It might be something in this situation where this man had authority over Paul, but yet Paul preached the truth. He didn't hide the truth. He spoke forth the message of the gospel of Christ, and that emphasizes to us again the power of this message. What a wonderful message it is. What a blessed message. It is a gospel that we must preach. It's not a gospel that we hide. It is a gospel that should shine forth in the world. It should be preached by the church of Christ. And shame on those who profess to be of Christ, but they hide the great fundamental truths of the gospel. It's a real thing in this day and age, hiding the truths of the gospel, not wanting to cause offense. To cause offense. Paul here, do you think he caused offense as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come to a wicked, sinful, corrupt ruler? Oh, he would have caused offense, great offense. But yet he was not ashamed of that. He was not ashamed of his Savior. He spoke the truth. And dear believer, you and I have the duty to speak the truth, to speak the truth in righteousness, firstly. And this brings us back to the basics of the gospel, right or wrong. If there is no sin, if no one is engaged in wrong and wicked deeds, there's no need for the gospel. If Adam had not disobeyed God, there's no need for the gospel. There's no need for forgiveness regarding iniquity. But Paul is fulfilling his responsibility and his duty as a servant of Christ to bring forth the gospel, to make clear the gospel, pointing out sin, pointing out iniquity, pointing out the need for righteousness. We ourselves have no righteousness of our own. Our righteousnesses, as the book of Isaiah tells us, are as filthy rags, dirty and vile. Dirty and vile. That's our righteousnesses in the sight of God. They're tainted by sin. They cannot enable us to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Tonight, if you're relying upon your sin and you're relying upon your own righteousnesses, your own good works for salvation, yet you're in your sin, those good works will not earn you favor with God. They are as filthy rags in his sight. It is through Christ and Christ alone that we can be saved. The apostle deals with a man whose many bribes had brought him to where he was, whose many bribes had helped him sustain his power. He's a man of sin and wickedness. He's not a man who would want to hear about righteousness, God's pure righteousness, and our defiled nature. And tonight, unbeliever, you have a defiled nature. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Word of God tells us that there is none good. And therefore, our sin brings us into separation with God. There's nothing we can do ourselves. God's righteousness is a pure and a holy righteousness, and we are unrighteousness. Our acts, our words, our thoughts are unrighteous. And because we are unrighteous, we are ungodly, there is nothing that we could do ourselves. Nothing. C.H. Spurgeon, when he preached on this passage, he spoke of Felix And he spoke of the Apostle Paul standing before him, reminding him about adulterers and fornicators and unclean persons who have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. He reminded them of how the vices of a ruler would tend to pollute a nation. He spoke perhaps of the great white throne, Spurgeon said, the books that were opened and arranged before the judge, and how the judge, the great, glorious judge, would say, "Come ye blessed, and depart ye who are cursed." Paul spoke the strong words of the gospel. He made this individual realize his sin, realize his iniquity, realize that in the sight of God, he was a sinner. Tonight, the same is true of you. And this is certainly one point in which you are like Felix. You're a sinner who needs the gospel of Christ. You're a sinner facing the wrath of your sin outside of Christ. You're a sinner in need of the righteousness of the Savior. How glorious that righteousness is, that righteousness that is imputed to us and received through faith alone. It is that righteousness that you need. But Paul reasoned of righteousness. He showed this man his sin. He comes to temperance and he deals with that, one of the fruits of the Spirit, emphasizing self-control. We often think of the temperance movement being associated with abstaining from alcohol, but it has a more widespread meaning. The practice of controlling our actions, our thoughts, our feelings, being temperate, abstaining from sin. Felix was involved in much sin, immorality, that comes under the term temperance. There was a lack of self-control, and he sinned, and he did that which was wrong and wicked in the sight of God. And how often we do that. There is no self-control. You fall into sin day by day. There's no, as it were, governing aspect of the Word of God in your life day by day to enable you to walk that righteous path. There is no salvation, changing your heart, inclining it toward Christ. No temperance, no temperance. Then Paul deals with judgment to come. Judgment to come. Paul did not hide this, the end of the world, the coming wrath of God upon sinners. And man will mock it, man will laugh at it, man will say it will not take place. But yet God's word says, for the wages of sin is death. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. After this, the judgment. Thomas Manton says, he lays the looking glass before their eyes and lets them see themselves and behold their natural face in a glass. See their sins, see their iniquity, see where they are going because of sin. And there is a judgment. There is a judgment. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and the apostle says here in verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Know what Paul says here. There is a gospel, there is a judgment seat. There are those who will stand and be judged, all of us standing before God. And knowing therefore the terror of the Lord in judgment, we persuade men. There's a very great evidence there for the importance of gospel preaching. Oh, men don't like sin being preached. They don't like the truth of God being preached. They don't like the gospel in all its purity being preached. But Paul says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we can do nothing else. That's the emphasis here. The Lord's terror is upon the sinner, and therefore our duty and our responsibility is to persuade men, to preach Christ, to preach the Savior. For there is a coming judgment. And tonight, if you're in your sin, you're facing that coming judgment like Felix. Oh, that you would be persuaded to turn from that sin unto God. There is judgment coming. And what was Felix's reaction to all of this? Well, going back to Acts chapter 24, we see thirdly that he displayed a despairing reaction to the truth. He displayed a despairing reaction to the truth. Verse 25, Felix trembled. Trembled. The Greek indicates that he was caused to tremble or caused to be afraid because of the sermon that was preached. He was terrified. This man was not a timid man. He did not occupy the position that he occupied because he was a nice, kind, and good-natured man. They did not turn around trying to pick a man for his position and think, oh, look at Felix. He's nice, he's kind, he's loving, he's a great nature. He'll be suited for this job. That's not how things work. That's not how it worked in that day. He was a man who was tough, a man not afraid to make hard decisions, a man not afraid to get his hands dirty and to engage in sin and corruption. But here the word of God made him tremble, and this is of vital importance. He trembled at the scriptures. He trembled at the exposition and the application of the word of God. Thomas Manton said that many wicked men are shaken by the preaching of the word for a while. They are a little awakened and begin to fear and tremble, yet they return again to them and sleep the sleep of death till in the day of judgment those books are opened, and then they everlastingly awake with terrors and sleep nevermore. He was awakened. He trembled at the thought of what Paul had to say, and the word of God caused this. Tonight, do you tremble at the word of God? Dear unbeliever, when you think of your sin, when you think of a holy God, when you think of that God and his judgment to come upon you for your sin, what is your reaction? Is it to tremble? Is it to tremble? Oh, that reaction should be to tremble and to fear God. This is a serious thing. A serious thing. And the Word of God caused this. The Word of God points and applies the gospel, applies the great truths of God's holiness and wrath to sinful hearts. It is the Word of God that searches. It is the Word of God that reminds us of who we are and our sin. And the Word of God ought to make us tremble. Dear believer, the Word of God in many ways ought to make you tremble as well, because when you think of the great work of Christ, when you think of sin, when you think of the influence of sin within your life, hindering your walk with God, hindering your testimony for Christ, it's a fearful thing. It's not to be treated lightly. And this emphasizes to us the great weight of sin and the great weight of the gospel of Christ. In Acts chapter 2, the verse 37, the word of God says, regarding the day of Pentecost, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? There was a similar reaction. Their hearts were pricked. Felix trembled. These, on the day of Pentecost, were pricked in their hearts. They were convicted of their sin, and they asked a question that Felix did not ask. Men and brethren, what shall we do? We've heard this gospel. We've heard of this Christ. We've heard your word. What do we do in light of it? Our hearts are telling us something needs to be done. And Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. They were to repent and believe the gospel. Felix's reaction should have been to repent. It should have been to turn, but he trembled. And that's as far as he got. Tonight, do you tremble at the word of God? Are you like Felix in that the word of God is a difficult thing for you to hear and understand? You don't want to listen to it. Young person, maybe you want to put that off. God is speaking. God is directing you. God, time and time again, has given you that blessed opportunity to think upon salvation. And you're procrastinating. You're putting it off. I don't want to hear it yet. I want to put it off and put it off and put it off. And we find his dangerous reply. Fourthly, he gave a dangerous reply to the gospel. Verse 25. Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He heard the gospel and he tells the preacher, go, leave, get out of here. When there's a more convenient time, I'll call for thee. He didn't want to progress that conversation. He didn't want to hear anything else. He put off dealing with spiritual matters. Despite his trembling, despite his concern, he intimated that now was not the time. A positive response to Paul's sermon was the priority, but here there was what we could say procrastination. He put it off. We know not what a day may bring forth. We know not what is on the morrow. We know not where we will be on the morrow. And when we tremble at the gospel of Christ, should we put it off? Should we say, go thy way, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Do not put off making sure of your soul's salvation. It is a folly. It is a dangerous thing to continually ignore and neglect the gospel of Christ. It is a blessing. It is a privilege to know of your sins forgiven. I grew up not knowing anything else. From my earliest years, I knew of the gospel. I knew of Christ. I knew of the way of salvation. And I'm thankful for that. I don't remember not knowing. 3-4 years of age, I remember going to church. 3 years of age, I was told that whenever the preacher mentioned ye must be born again from John 3 in his sermon, well, my parents began to get a little concerned because that was the trigger word. Ye must be born again. I'd heard that time and time again. I picked it up and I shouted it back at the preacher. You must be born again. And of course, I didn't know when to stop. I probably still have that problem, but I didn't know when to stop. And I kept saying it. And I grew up in a home where I knew the gospel. What a privilege it is. What a blessing. But that gospel had to be, as it were, confronted by me. I had to bend the knee. I had to, by God's grace and through his Spirit, repent of my sin. And there are others, and I know of others. And no doubt there are those here who never grew up in a Christian home, but the Lord has saved you. We have ministers and elders throughout our churches who never grew up in a Christian home. The gospel came later. By God's grace. But how sad it is for those who have that great privilege to put it off. Born into a Christian home, coming to church, hearing the gospel. Oh, there's a more convenient season later on. A more convenient season in the future. There may not be a more convenient season in the future. Consider the gospel now. Consider the gospel tonight. Don't be like Felix and give a dangerous reply. Make sure of your soul's salvation as Paul has reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment. Listen. Turn from sin, repent, and believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless his word tonight for his name's sake. Amen. Amen.
Spurgeon brings us today to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 26. Your Heavenly Father. God's people are doubly His children. They are His offspring by creation, and they are His sons by adoption in Christ. Hence they are privileged to call Him our Father, which art in heaven. Father, oh, what a precious word is that. Here is authority. If I be a father, where is mine honour? If ye be sons, where is your obedience? Here is affection mingled with authority, an authority which does not provoke rebellion, an obedience demanded which is most cheerfully rendered, which would not be withheld even if it might. The obedience which God's children yield to Him must be loving obedience. Do not go about the service of God as slaves to the taskmaster's toil, but run in the way of His commandments because it is your Father's way. Yield your bodies as instruments of righteousness, because righteousness is your Father's will, and His will should be the will of His child. Father, here is a kingly attribute so sweetly veiled in love that the king's crown is forgotten in the king's face, and his scepter becomes not a rod of iron, but a silver scepter of mercy. The scepter indeed seems to be forgotten in the tender hand of him who wields it. Father, here is honour and love. How great is a father's love to his children, that which friendship cannot do, and mere benevolence will not attempt. A father's heart and hand must do for his sons. They are his offspring. He must bless them. They are his children. He must show himself strong in their defence. If an earthly father watches over his children with unceasing love and care, how much more does our Heavenly Father, Abba, Father, he who can say this, hath uttered better music than cherubim or seraphim can reach. There is heaven in the depth of that word, Father. There is all I can ask, all my necessities can demand, all my wishes can desire. I have all in all to all eternity when I can say, Father. We come to the end of our program today. Thank you for joining with us, and we trust that you have been blessed by the ministry of God's Word. And we'll see you again here on Let the Bible Speak. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all His fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.